Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Maybe you want to do your apology right now to Rich Gannon,
who joins
us now. Good morning, Rich.
Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Guys, it's great to be with you. How are you?
We're doing great. It's always good to be with you. And I would like to officially apologize to you because you've had to call a couple of Broncos games on the offensive side of the ball. So I wanted to apologize that you had to watch that.
you know, brother, it's all good. Look, you know, I love football. I wish things were different. You know, what's amazing when you watch the Broncos play, their defense has really played, you know, they've been a top five defense most of the season. They've kept them in just about every game, really kind of give them a chance to win, but the offense just simply can't score points. In a way, I feel bad for Vic Fangio because, you know, he's so entrenched in the defensive side of the ball. I think that group has played hard. I'm not suggesting that the offense hasn't played hard, but just, you know, their inability to score late in games, really their inability to score overall, I mean, it's been a real problem. And you know, what is it? Now six or seven straight games where they haven't scored a fourth quarter point. That you're just not going to win a lot of football games when you can't finish late.
Would you start Drew Lock this week?
Yeah, I had that conversation with Vic Fangio on Saturday, and I think here's the concern that he has, and here's the concern that I have. I haven't been out in the practice field the last couple of weeks. I don't worry that physically. I don't worry that mentally. He's missed a lot of time that's very difficult to make up when you miss, you know, almost 3 months. If he shows me in practice that he can get in there and function and play and he understands the system, here's what you have to keep in mind. You know, you've got 52 other players that really want to win, and I don't want to just put a guy out there because I have to take a look at him over the next couple of weeks in the interest of, you know, trying to make a decision, but at the same time, maybe jeopardizing our chances of winning. And the other thing is, if you put him out there before he's ready and he has a bad experience, you could not only he has a bad experience, but the team has a bad experience. Then you start losing confidence in the young quarterback. I'm not so sure that's fair. I wouldn't put him in there until I'm convinced that he's ready to play and he can go out there and execute and not hurt the football team.
But you know what? And Rich, I'm going to use your career as a counter to that, because isn't the idea that if you truly are made of the right stuff, you're going to be able to handle that kind of adversity? You came into the league, and I think, what, the Patriots wanted to make you a safety? And you were like, no, I can play quarterback. I can make it in this league. But you had to wait a long time to finally get your shot before you became the quarterback that you were. I mean, talk about adversity. It didn't kill you.
Yeah, but you know, you pointed out I had to wait a while. So, you know, I wasn't ready to play right away. I played at a small school at the University of Delaware. I played in the Delaware wing T offense. So, you know, the pro passing game was foreign to me. So it did take me a while. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to start right away. When I did, I finally got traded. I go to a team. I'm hurt. You know, Stink remembers that year in Washington. I played in three or four games. I wasn't, you know, anywhere near 100%. And then I was out of football year. So, it's a process. You know, look, I'm anxious to see the guy play. I think when you look at where they're at right now at 3-8, you say to yourself, what do they have to lose? I think they have to find out about him. I mean, you know, it's been a revolving door at the quarterback position really since Peyton Manning retired. You know, they've had six different quarterback starts since 2017. They have to find the long-term answer at quarterback. And they also have to find out about Drew Lock. I don't know if it's this week or next week, but I would anticipate he would get a start here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think my big concern is, you know, they're losing games anyhow. So, I mean, you know, you're gonna lose games. And the rest of the season, you still, you know, you just don't match up right now personnel-wise. I guess my biggest concern was, can he operate the offense? Can he call the offense? And can he adjust the offense on the fly, especially from a protection standpoint? Because that's where you can get hurt. Like, if he doesn't understand, like, where he's hot, where the blitzes are coming from, how to change those things. I think as a quarterback, those are the things you have to have at least an understanding of that going out there. Otherwise, your coaches are putting you in a bad position.
Well, I just asked you. I said, hey, Stink, who am I hot off of here? Hey, what's the audible you want me to get to here? Either that, or you have to have a really smart guard at your disposal. But no, you're right, brother. And in all seriousness, you know, you've got to be able to do those things. And, you know, I think that you know, as you look at the coordinator, I think you try and put the quarterback in a position where he's able to go out there and function. You build a game plan around what he knows, what he's comfortable with, what he has a history with. And I think you scale the plan back, right? You're not going to have as many plays. I think the thing that was impressive about Brandon Allen was, so he was able to do those things. I think physically he's got some limitations. I don't think he overwhelms you with his arm talent. I think he struggles a little bit throwing the ball from the pocket. I mentioned last week he had the highest – in the two games that he played, he had the highest quarterback rating in the league over that period off the play-action game, and the worst when it was pure dropback. So you can tell at 6'2", with the bigger line, pushing his face, that's not really his game. The other thing is when you look at the Broncos, they are so young and so inexperienced at tight end and wide receiver. You know, that whole group is essentially first and second year players. So, you know, look, it's a work in progress. It's hard to watch. I understand that for Bronco fans, but, you know, you got to be able to, you know, that's the job of the coaching staff. Who are we? What are we best at? I think, you know, Philip Lindsay to me, he starts out well and then he kind of goes on the back shelf when they fall behind. You know, I just think that, you got to find in critical situations. You got to think of players and not plays. So I'm thinking, you know, if I'm calling plays, I'm like, all right, let's our three best players right now are Philip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton, and Noah Fant. So I'm gonna build a plan around getting those guys touches. And this Tim Patrick, I think, has got some chance at some skills. He's got to clean up the route running. As I studied him over the last 2 weeks. You know, he's a little bit undisciplined with the route running, but he's a guy that I like because he has the size that Cortland Sutton has, and I think he can be a factor down the stretch. But you're right. I mean, they're not a good football team right now, and even defensively, as much as I try and defend the defense, they got gashed, guys. They gave up 214 rushing yards to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, Lamar Jackson, just your thoughts on Lamar Jackson and what John Harbaugh. I mean, John Harbaugh to me is changing the way we look at the league right now by putting this offense in with Greg Roman, what they've done. And Lamar Jackson, here's a kid that, myself included, I was like, I don't know if that's sustainable and he's not good enough from the pocket. He's just shocked me. He's playing such good football. What do you make of Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens right now?
Well, you're right, and I heard some of the conversation before I jumped on, and you're right. It's hard to find someone that can do what he does in practice, so I think that makes it difficult from a defense just in terms of getting yourself, I think, physically ready for the speed and the precision at which they execute. He has got a unique skill set. He's bigger than a Michael Vick. He doesn't slide or go down like Vick did. This guy will slam his body up in there. And then I look at how they're built. So they have three big tight ends. This Nick Boyle, you could call him a tight end stink, but he's really not. I mean, he's got the hands. He can run some routes, but he's in there to bust people up. He's 275 pounds. And then they've got a fullback, a defensive tackle slash fullback. This is right up your alley. This guy, Patrick Ricard, he's 305 pounds. He's number 42. And sometimes they have Boyle and Ricard in the game. So you've got like seven offensive linemen in there. And then you've got a guy like Mark Ingram that, you know, he's a downhill runner. And so now all of a sudden, you know, you look at Aaron Donald and all these other guys, and, you know, you got pass rushing ends. They don't want to, you know, as well as I do, think they don't want to put the pads on and play the run and get punched in the mouth for 60 minutes. And that's what they're doing. And then when they do some of the RPOs, they pull it back, some of the play action stuff. You've got guys running wide open in the secondary. So, and even when you think you've got Lamar Jackson contained, he makes a guy or two miss, and then he's off to the races. So, you know, you just don't see this offense week in and week out in the NFL. You don't see the precision, the execution. And, you know, a lot's been made about the job that offensive coordinator Greg Roman has done. He has, but they've also really built a good football team. Pretty good offensive line. They do a good job coming off the football, but they've got about seven linemen in the game at any one time, and they do a good job on the edges with their tight ends, with the fullback knocking you backwards.
Busy with Rich Gannon, called it a couple of Bronco games this year, including the most recent one. One thing that we've watched over the years in football, no offense is truly unstoppable. The league always adjusts. So how do they adjust to this? What is the potential Achilles heel of this offense?
Well, I had the same concerns that Mark did when you look at a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, because I go back to Robert Griffin III. I think they're a little bit different. I think Jackson's a better passer right now from the pocket. But I would tell you that, you know, so much of his game, you know, even Dante Culpepper, you know, so much of their game is their ability to extend plays, the unscripted plays, and their ability to kind of improvise and make plays on the move. If he gets hurt, and that's when you run around like that, eventually somebody's going to get you. I mean, it's just that's the odds, and that's my concern, because I think defenses are going to start rushing more. I think you start, you know, bringing 5 and 6 man pressures because you kind of clog up those run lanes. You really want him to, you want to force him to function as a pocket passer and keep him in the pocket really where he belongs. Teams haven't been able to do that because they get behind you know, they can continue to run the football. So that's going to be important. I just think that, you know, he's got to continue to improve with his mechanics, with his feet, with the anticipation, with the accuracy, those type of things. But he's different than Vic. I think he's different than RG3. I think he's a better – I think he's already further along in the passing game. But that's going to be the key. I mean, you look at what the Chargers did last year. The key versus this team – it's a jump off to a fast start, right? Get a little bit of a lead and force them to get out of their rhythm and the routine of running the football and the RPOs and those type of things, and make this guy have to sit in there and throw the ball into tight windows. Teams haven't been able to do that.
All right, Rich. Hey, who you got this weekend?
I am in Indianapolis. I've got Tennessee at Indianapolis. So I am just starting the process of watching some film. Actually, and I hate to do this to Bronco fans, I will be in Houston in 2 weeks covering the Broncos. I feel like I should be paid by the Broncos now. I do all the Bronco games.
That's great. Hey, make sure you tell Harlan the cat call on what was that, Monday night?
Yeah.
Was the most exceptional call in the history. When you can read a promo and call a cat call in the end zone, I'm next level. Just to give him props from us.
Hey, and congratulations to you, brother. I see that you got that game ball for the all-time top 100 team. Well-deserved, and not at all surprised, because you're a great player, and you do a great job in the broadcast booth on the radio show. I enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Take care, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
All right, there he goes, Rich Cannon.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.